everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Joe Chisholm here, and Joe Chisholm Jr. right over there. Can't see him, but there he is. And we are all set and ready to go for 2 hours nonstop race talk here tonight at Racetime Radio in the Racetime Radio studio. So glad you could tune in either here on our live stream or absolutely live on Sirius XM. Channel 167 Canada Talks. Junior, good weekend for you.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Didn't get to a racetrack, but got to hang out with a whole bunch of racing people.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. We went up to Kawartha Lakes and spent a bunch of time over at Brian Cathcart's cottage. Of course, everybody in the Pindy series knows who Brian Cathcart is.
Oh, yeah.
Had a bunch of fun with the whole DJK racing team. And, you know, Brian and DJ have been hooked up for a long period of time. We got to use his cottage for the weekend and spent a bunch of time up on Buckhorn Lake. Really beautiful area in Ontario, and definitely urge everybody to go check out Buckhorn up in the Kawartha Lakes area.
Good deal.
A lot of fun.
Good deal. And that's what it's all about, right? You guys work hard at the track and then...
Yeah, that's right. I work really hard.
I work really hard. All the time.
I work extremely hard.
Harder than that driver.
That's right.
Yeah.
And way harder than all the other crew. No, I'm just kidding. The guys that you know, we've assembled on the DJK team. Man, do we have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's just a group of buddies that would give anything to win. And it's the neatest part about it is it's like a bunch of brothers hanging out. And we got a chance to sit back, of course, being as though we're all racers.
Sure.
You know, we watched the Xfinity race on Friday night. We watched the Cup race on Saturday night. Got a little bit of chance to, kick back on the iPad and watch some Jennerstown action with our buddy Albert Francis going and getting the championship over there. So it wasn't a weekend without racing.
Yeah.
It was just away from the racetrack.
Well, no one can top how much racing I took in yesterday.
That's right.
Didn't leave the house, but I'll tell you what, I was able to tune into lots. Let me tell you who we've got coming up on this show tonight. We're going to kick it all off here in just mere seconds with the number 5 car, the Chapman Brothers Contracting number 5 Chevrolet. It's Jonathan Hicken out in PEI. He, Junior, went to victory lane yet again at Petty International Raceway, and it was a huge night. Of course, it was the 7th annual Mike Stevens Memorial 200 using and featuring those pro stock cars, super late models. Jonathan Hicken goes to victory lane. He's going to join us tonight.
How could you bet against him?
Nah,
Petty.
Really? Well,
like
guess,
when you look at
guess who was on his butt?
Tucker.
Yep.
I mean,
number two, Ashton Tucker.
They weren't at 660, so it's not his track. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the way that it is.
Well,
but when you look at the success that those two have had through this pandemic, my Lord, those two guys between Ashton Tucker and Jonathan Hicken. They've both had an extremely memorable year.
Yeah, they have. They
you
have.
Know,
I
like,
agree.
I think on the other side of this deal, obviously everybody's going to remember the pandemic and what 2020 was all about. But I think that everybody on the East Coast is going to remember the season that Jonathan Hicken and Ashton Tucker both had out on the East Coast.
Yeah, I would agree. Also coming up on the show and still talking Petty International Raceway, because it was such a big event this weekend. When it comes time for sportsmen, it was Jordan Vino going to victory lane. We're going to have Jordan on the program here.
Beautiful number 11 car.
Right after the number 5 car. We'll catch up tonight with a NASCAR Xfinity driver. For DGM, we got Alex Labbe going to jump back on here. We'll talk Bristol. He comes away with a 14th place finish at Bristol. Not bad. Very respectable running. And the cool part, Can-Am is back with the race team as a primary sponsor for the next 4 events. So we'll talk to Alex not only about the day that was at Bristol, but we'll also take a look into the future on how things are going to all shake out for Alex Labbe with Can-Am back on that race car. Off to the East Coast right after Alex Labbe, we'll grab Donald Chisholm. Of course, Riverside International Speedway out in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. They are finally going to turn the tap back on and get a race in this year with the Parts for Trucks Tour. It will be the second race of the season for the tour, and it's the Tourmont Cat 150. We'll talk to Donald Chisholm about that. I know he has been sitting absolutely idle, other than, 2 weeks ago when they got under the green flag at Scotia Speed World. We'll find out how that number 89 is prepped and ready to go for the Tourmont Cat 150 coming up at Riverside. Then we're going to check in with Albert Francis, of course, champion in the Pro Late Models at Jennerstown Speedway. And after Albert, we're going to pull in. How about Caden Lapcevich? He was one busy guy on the weekend. Down south as well, Caden comes away with a pair of third-place finishes, so he podium in both series. He ran the Glass City 200 and the CRA race. Caden Lapcevich is going to join the show tonight. So that's who we got coming at you. But what do you say we kick it off right now with that number 5 Chapman Brothers car? He did a masterful job back at Petty International Raceway. Jonathan Hicken, PEI, joins the show right now. What's going on there, Johnny? How are you?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Fantastic, my friend. Congratulations on another Mike Stevens Memorial race. You know Mike Stevens would have been looking down last night going, way to go, Johnny. You did it again.
Yeah, you're right. Mike, he was always a hard charger at the best of times, and always liked races with him. The whole Stevens family, Robbie, he's always been a help to me sponsorship-wise, and just like winning them races for him, and he likes watching. He's a big fan, and it was a good night. That's number 4 for us in the last 7 years. So yeah. Just telling the wife the other night, it's hard to believe it's been 7 years, but anyway, time slips on by.
Buddy, I got to tell you, last night tuned in to listen to Dylan Langell and Jesse. They were with the call. Tim Terry tied up over on the video on demand side of things. The video will come out. Don't know, it may even be out now for that Mike Stevens Memorial. You want to check that out at timscorner.ca. But last night, listening to the guys, coming out of my chair a number of times, it was an exciting show. And I got to tell you that I kept sending tweets out, and one guy would say, this is Jonathan Hicken's, if he wins tonight, this is going to be his 5th win in the Mike Stevens Memorial. It's been 7 years. And then a couple of minutes later, Dylan would say, hey, this is going to be his 4th consecutive, or not consecutive, but win in the Mike Stevens Memorial. So I erase that one tweet, fire out the next one, thinking I've got it up to date. Now we'll get it right from the horse's mouth. Is it 4 times you've won this race, or is it 5?
Yeah, that's 4. That's the 4th one last night, 15 and 16, and then 19 and 20.
Wow.
It's the years that we've done it, so yeah. It's been fun. I like that track. It's Wayne and Ellen do a hell of a job. I mean, they're two of the best at organizing, and they're always doing something to the track every time you go back. Whether there's bleachers or pads down or a new canteen or whatever, they're always doing their best and trying to improve everything that they have.
Now, Jonathan, we know Wayne is all about parity on the racetrack. Of course, he sits on top of the technical director's side on the Parts for Trucks Tour side. Has he ever walked over and threatened to add a couple hundred pounds because you wax him so bad at Petty?
No.
No?
No one hasn't come to that yet anyways.
I imagine it's coming. You keep winning. You know what? Next race at Petty, you should just sit back in like 5th and just ride around. Just at the end, just be like, you know, we didn't have the car today. Just because I'm telling you what, man, you are turning some heads at Petty. Like, you're owning that track right now. It's like, it's a memorable run now. You know, like, you've been so good there. You know, you've been good there for a long time. But, I mean, season, last season, really since you guys unloaded that black number 5, right? When it was blue, you guys were good there. When you unloaded the black number 5, you were great there. And there's a big difference between good and great.
Yeah, ever since the track reopened, it's treated us well. I love running there. It's just a track that seems to come natural to me. I mean, we don't have a poor race car by any means. I mean, that Fury race car is pretty badass anywhere that we go, but track just really suits me. And
yep.
I like to just charge the corners there. It's a stop-start kind of track, and that's the way I like to drive. And it's suited me well over the last number of years.
Other than a little bit of fuel at one race, or a little bit of water in the fuel, I should say, at one race this year at Petty, you have been unbeatable at that track.
Yeah, so far, other than the water deal, I mean, that night actually probably the best car I've hit there, and we get 30 laps in and picked up the water, but I don't know, hindsight, I guess, but I feel that we had the car to win that night, too. The two car, Ashton Tucker, he's been spot on all year. I mean, he can't knock himself for the year that he's having. He's doing a hell of a job, him and his crew, and pretty flawless all year, actually. But Ashton's been my heavy competition between him and Cole Butcher. But, we're putting things together at Petty, and that's what we like to do.
We're with Jonathan Hicken tonight. He is from PEI. Brunel, PEI?
Brunel.
Ah, there you go. Yep. He's with us on the hotline. We're talking about the Mike Stevens Memorial 200 that took place just last night at Petty International Raceway. It was a full weekend deal. Friday night got rained out, got pushed into Sunday. But, Jonathan, your race was on Saturday. It looked like a beautiful day from all the photos that I seen. It looked like a great day for racing, and sure enough, it was.
Yeah, it was a nice day. Evening's got a little bit cool, but, you know, it's always the best time to race. It's always when I like to race, nice and cool. Cars work good, and drivers are always at their best when they're a little bit cooler. But, we set sail on lap, I'm going to say 115, 120, and never looked back, but... I gotta thank all my guys. The pit stop was flawless. I mean, we took two tires and fuel and track bar adjustment when we pitted, and we came out on top and never looked back.
Now, we got to talk about qualifying, though, my friend. You never seem to qualify on the pole. You're in that top five, top ten, whatever. Last night, the beginning of the race, Cole Butcher, I believe he led like 92 laps before he ended up having to go into the pit. Jarrett took a run at it for a little bit, and then they got collected in a big one. By the sounds of it, it was a big wreck, and it knocked them both out. But qualifying, talk to me about qualifying. Where did you, I think you qualified like fifth, right?
We qualified P4. Quite comfortable with the car. I'm never a time trialer. I'm never one to put a time. I never race the clock. Just never been the way I do it, but I just go by feel and know what you want for a car at the being underneath you, and if it's going to last, get a good balance on the car, and as long as we're in the top five, you know you're going to be in good shape at the end of the night. But yeah, we followed Cole probably for the first 90 or 100 laps, I guess, and Corey Hall was right there too, and Ashton Tucker, and then once the pit sequence and everything come out, that's when we started to pick them off, and under each caution and restart, we'd just kind of get what come easy to us and not tear our stuff up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was a good night, too. For guys like Robbie McEwen, I want to say Robbie McEwen was in that top five and pretty steady up in there. Craig Slonwhite, another one that had a decent run going. He was up in the top three. It sounded like it was a darn good race to be in, and it sounded like a tough one to go out there and try and win.
Yeah, there's good cars, like I say, both Butchers, Cole and Jairs, Craig Slonwhite, Ashton Tucker, Corey Hall, everybody there. There's the times were fairly close, and it was just a matter of who saves all their stuff, best pit stop. I mean, we come right out on top of pit stop. I can't thank my guys enough. It's just two tires. It was just completely flawless, and they got the job done. We come out ahead of everybody, and it made my job a lot easier on the track because it was a little bit harder to pass last night, and it was pretty well straight ahead from there. A couple of restarts in between, and caution-free coming on the end for, I'm going to say, 60 laps probably.
Ah, nice when you can get a long green flag run like that. It's got to feel good. Now, we know that we are getting kind of short on days up here in Canada. As soon as the end of September rolls in, we know that it is, gradually coming to an end here. But you do have another race next weekend, back to Riverside International Speedway, back to the Tour. What's the thoughts heading into the 150 at the high banks of Riverside International Speedway?
Yeah, we're going to give Riverside a try, and then Shediac's got an open event on October 4th. We're also going to do that. So last two races of the season. Riverside, as far as that goes, I've never had a feature win in Riverside, so I'm always wanting to try my best and just kind of keep the panels on and see what we can do there. But same deal, you get your Donald Chisholms and possibly Greg Proud coming out with his new Fury chassis. He's pretty stout in practice, and just different guys like that you know are going to be there, and you just got to be smart and see what you can do at the end of it.
You've never had a feature win at Riverside? That's not the question that I wanted to ask.
No.
That's incredible to me, actually.
It is. He's always been close.
Yeah, you're always right there. That's wild.
Yeah. We've been close a lot, but just never closed the deal.
The past four shows, there's been a bombshell like that. Like, I go back, a few shows ago, we were talking to Todd Davenport. He said he'd never been to Flamborough.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? The past four shows, there's been something, jump off the page that is something that is surprising, you know, in the backstory of this whole sport. Like, you would expect the five car to be in victory lane at some point in Riverside, and I wouldn't, with the success that you've had this year, I wouldn't doubt that it is this year, Jonathan. Looking forward to seeing what you could do there. But you did touch on it. It's something that we don't talk about a whole lot up here, and you talked about your guys busting off a good pit stop, right? We don't hear that too often, even in the NASCAR Pinty series. It's even fallen by the wayside on the live pit stop side, and there is not a late model race in Ontario that you can even change tires in anymore. So it's interesting that you touched on that. Talk to us a little bit about the race format of the Mike Stevens Memorial for the fans or the teams that are out there that haven't partaken in it. There is a live pit stop angle and portion to that show.
Yeah, just you get your 40 lap segments, competition cautions, right up to 160. You can pit any time that you want. As long as you pit once, take your two tires, you can take them whenever you want, fuel up, make your adjustments or whatever, but they are live pit stops, not a timed one. So you got to have everything all lined up and make it work. I mean, the car was good. I was good on track, but when you come in the pits, you got to have all your ducks in order and get your tires on. You can't make mistakes. You're going to lose positions. And my guys, like I say, they nailed it last night, and that's basically one race for me.
So yellow flags don't count in there, correct? Are yellow flags counting? So they are not counting.
Nope.
So just the clock stops rolling, and you can roll down pit road. But where you roll out is where you restart your race. You don't get your spot back.
Yeah.
So if you came down pit road and there was 10 guys that didn't come, you're going to be starting 10th if you're first off of pit road.
Yeah, that's
right?
Correct.
That's a neat way of going about it. I love those style races.
Mm-hmm.
It adds such a different dynamic. I know buying tires sucks and running long races is expensive, but if the structure of the race is there, that is so much fun. I love a race where you can come down pit road, make an adjustment, make your car better, slap new tires on and get back after it. I really enjoy that angle of a race.
Yeah, and it only happens once a year for us. All the 250s that we have here is a timed halfway break, 10 minutes. I mean, you can get out of the car and kind of talk it over with your crew chief, make adjustments, get back in the way you go. But live pit stops surely make it entertaining and interesting. And you gotta have a good crew and you gotta have a good driver. There's so many things that have to add up and. I got the best of both, cars and crew and the whole deal, so everything lined up pretty good last night.
Well, you're going to want to ride that wave of momentum that five team has got going on heading into Riverside. Sure wish we could be with you this coming weekend, but we're going to have to just stay where we're at. We're going to be able to at least listen live to Tim Terry. He will have things wired up, and Dylan Langell, and I'm looking forward to at least being able to listen to you guys as you get out there. Good luck at Riverside. I know we're going to have the winner on next weekend. And, Jonathan, awesome, awesome job in the Mike Stevens Memorial. The 200, you did it. Congratulations. And I'll tell you what, Chapman's Brothers got to be real happy with you along with everybody else.
Yeah, Chapman Brothers, major help to me. King Racing this year wouldn't have been able to do it without Andrew. Fury Race Cars, I mean, he's got his stuff figured out, and things are working well. But you show up to the track with something that he's worked on, you're just top of the board all day. It's fast right out of the trailer, so I can't thank him enough. The CPM, Redline Sport and Cycle, White Fabrication, all the guys that helped me out is always appreciated. And like you guys know, you can't do it without them.
You want to believe it. Jonathan, thanks so much for the time, and I look forward to seeing how you make out at Riverside and Shediac and from here all the way through, bud.
Okay, thanks, guys. Thanks
you betcha. That is Jonathan Hicken. PEI is where he calls home, and he's got another Mike Stevens Memorial Trophy to add up to the other ones. Cool thing, Junior. I know you guys missed it, but I'm tuned in to Tim's Corner, listening to everything that's happening. They're doing the driver intros just ahead of the driver intros. Wayne Smith, the promoter and owner at Petty International Raceway, has a open mic drivers meeting with the guys in front of the fans. I'll tell you what, it was really cool for Wayne to be able to lay down the ground rules. He wasn't taking no crap from anybody. Listen up, guys. Here's the way it's going to go, and you got no time in between anything. We're not leaving it out. This one is for the fans. It's for Mike Stevens, and I'll tell you what, they did a dynamite job.
Yeah, for sure. It's a neat deal. You know, I think back to New Smyrna, and they did it for a period of time where they did a driver's meeting at the beginning of the week in front of the fans.
Right.
It adds a totally different dynamic.
Sure,
you know,
it does.
To the drivers, they've heard it all before. They've been to driver's meeting, and I mean, if you've been to one driver's meeting, you've been to them all.
Right.
Now, sometimes they read the Riot Act if you were bad the week before.
Yeah,
sometimes they are boring. Sometimes they're exciting. Sometimes somebody gets in a yelling match. There's always different things that come from the driver's meeting. There's a lot of political nuance that you can pick up from the race of how the tone is in the driver's meeting. But, you know, it is something for the fans to see. And, you know, hats off to Wayne for taking it to a different level. I did hear about it. And it's definitely a unique approach. I think the NASCAR Penny Series last year was attempting to do the same thing before the rain happened at Jukasa.
Right.
They were going to hold it in the grandstands, you know, leading up to the race, and then the rains came, obviously. So we sat in the rain in the grandstands and cursed for having to do it. But, you know, it is a portion of the race that I think a lot of promoters can draw from, because it's new for most fans.
Well, it leads and lets the fan in on a lot of stuff, answers a lot of questions.
Absolutely.
For him, and that's kind of cool. Also involved in the Mike Stevens Memorial Weekend at Petty International Raceway was the Sportsman, and I'll tell you what, these are the up-and-coming drivers heading in one day, hopefully, into those pro stock cars, going to Victory Lane last night in the Sportsman class. How about Jordan Vino? We call him Jordanica, and he drives the number 11. He did a masterful job in that race, and I'll tell you, in the closing laps, the guy that was on in second was trying his best to chase him down, but it was Jordan going to Victory Lane, and we got him on the hotline right now. What's going on tonight there, Jordan? How you doing? But I haven't seen you in a long time.
Oh, not too bad, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good job in that 11 car. Sounds like you were firing on all cylinders. The crew did their thing. The driver did his thing. And presto, a checkered flag.
Oh, the car was pretty well perfect all day, which was amazing, because the first time we were out this year, we had some issues. We fought all day and got the victory then. But today, or this weekend, was amazing. We spent a lot of time on the car. One thing with this pandemic and not racing nowhere near as much as we usually do, we tend to spend a lot more time on them between races, and well, it showed. We've only been out four times this year, and we've won three.
Yeah. Yeah, just amazing, and that's the whole plan, right? You want to get that car, get out there. Now, I got to ask you, is it the new car that you had last year when you and I were sitting down? You had a couple of them, and you said that new car hasn't really been out yet. I've been using the old one. Was it the new car?
Yes, that's my new car. It's not too new now. It's getting older. But all of my two cars that are race-ready, we normally use my older car in Halifax. And the new car we use in New Brunswick, it's just getting older now, but she's got a pretty good track record on the go now.
I'd say. Yeah, three out of four ain't bad. There's a song, something like that, only it's two out of three, but look at you go. Have you been running Friday nights at Scotia, and how many more do you have to go there?
We actually haven't made it out to a Friday night show yet, because we only have the one car together so far this year, and the car we've been racing in New Brunswick has an AR Revolution body on it, which is sort of a Gen 6 body, and it's not really allowed at Scotia, so we haven't been out yet this year. For how many more we're going to run yet this year, we don't know. It's kind of going week by week, seeing how money flows and going from there.
Yeah, and you got to do that, right? It's a weird year, to say the least. You guys are making the best of it. Let's talk about the race last night. I know in the closing laps, you were coming under fire, but you were taking the heat and continuing on. Take us through the race. How did it all unfold for you?
Well, we got really lucky with time trialing, which is a big help for me. I had done them a handful of times now, and we grew up with the Pro Stock and the MasCar back in the day, was working with Scott Alexander. So I know a few things to do in time trials make us pretty good. So we've got the pole and led from the pole. Brandon Carter, when he come through the field and run with us, impressed me unbelievable for his first ever start in a late model. He started coming at the end there. We were saving some equipment. I had a little bit left. I was quite a bit better getting through traffic than him, but at the end, he may have been a snick better, but just run out of time.
And there you go. You got to be in the right place at the right time. And Jordan Vino, you were. What do you got left? What do you got left on the schedule? Do you know of the next race, or are you still in the planning stages?
Right now, we're just playing it by ear. We may go to the final race in Petty, but we really haven't made up our mind yet. Other than that, I think the only other thing left is one possible race at Scotia is the only thing left, and possibly Sydney Speedway. But again, we haven't confirmed that we're allowed there with the new generation body or not, and we basically don't have a plan. The last two races we've decided on Friday night we will actually go this week.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
After working on the car for 120 hours, you know, consecutive. You guys have been wrenching lots, and the story is echoed kind of across the board, man. When you listen to some of the late model competitors from here in Ontario, from, you know, Quebec, the amount of time that everybody's spending in the shop just changing little wee parts and pieces and making stuff lighter, and I think that the competition on the other side of this pandemic, whenever everything goes back to normal and we can go back to racing on a normal schedule, the competition level is going to be increased because of this deal.
Yes.
I honestly think so.
I agree.
And, you know, and that even take it a step further, I think the economic situation is going to be a little bit stronger on the other side for the mass majority of racers, just because of, you know, everybody's
sure.
Racing less right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, just wild. Jordan, how about sponsorship on the 11? I haven't seen the car. You got lots of sponsors on there that help you out.
Oh, yeah, well, my big three is R&R Kinsman's. Reg Kinsman Sr. started sponsoring me when I was first got into it. Again, we grew up camping with Reg, and Reggie's taken care of me ever since. His son has taken care of me ever since Reg Sr.'s passed away, Reggie. So big thank you to them. Blue Nose Well Drilling helps us get to the track every week with fuel and that. And, of course, Vino's Truck and Auto. If it wasn't for... it wasn't for the business, there's no way we'd be able to come out and play. OHES Health and Safety is a big help. Worldwide Thermal Solutions, Need Shell, Porter's Lake, a gas station out in my my community helps us out with some fuel, and a handful of others. Oh, Finish Line Vinyl makes these cars look amazing every year. I have no idea how Kirk outdoes himself every year. I know he hates me from the green because he can't print it, and he lays every drop of green on my race car by hand in pieces to make it look as good as it does.
Well, and it looks amazing, my friend, and it goes like Jack the Bear. Congratulations on the win in the Mike Stevens Memorial Sportsman Race. Good on you for doing it. Congratulations, and thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. We genuinely appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe, for having me on.
You betcha. That's Jordan Vino, driver of the number 11. When he shows up, everybody's got to take note. He's another one of those guys that is real, real tough to beat whenever he gets behind the wheel. We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk NASCAR Xfinity with a Canadian driver from DGM. We got Alex Labbe coming up on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Yeah, this is Jeff Dunford, 70 Oscar Super Late Model. Listen to RTR. It's a great program.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is fired up by QuickWick Fire Starters. Available online at QuickWick.com. That's QuickWick, QWICKWICK.com. Use promo code RTR on your next purchase and save.
RevTV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. RevTV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. QuickWick Fire Starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. QuickWick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian, and so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Alexa, play NASCAR Radio on Sirius XM.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio from Sirius XM.
Start your engine!
Gain access to NASCAR's biggest names.
Martin Truex Jr.
Kyle Busch.
Chase Elliott.
Hear live coverage of every single race.
They're side by side for the win! Oh.
It's unfiltered 24-7 NASCAR.
Welcome to Victory Lane.
We got breaking news. Let's go to the hotline.
This is Sirius XM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. Listen on the app or at home on devices equipped with Amazon Alexa. Learn more at SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land.
Hey, baby.
Hear rare interviews and performances. Concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Race Time Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Getting the wheelhouse all warmed up and bringing us back. Welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. I am Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio, live tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167. Back to the hotline we go. Love bringing this next guest on, especially when he's got great news. Alex Labbe, driver of the number 36 for DGM Racing in the NASCAR Xfinity Series down in the U.S., coming off a 14th place finish at the track we all love to watch, Bristol. It was just on, Friday night. And, man, what a race. He's got some great news as well. Let's welcome him in, shall we? Alex Labbe, how are you tonight, my friend?
Hey, pretty good. And you, Joe?
Doing fantastic, man. Hats off to you. That was a great race at Bristol. Coming out of there with all the panels on it in a 14th place finish, good for you, man.
Yep, thanks, man. Yeah, we ended up 13th there Friday night.
Oh!
That was a pretty good run.
There
pretty
you go.
Solid all day. Yep, made some good gains, worked on it, stayed on the lead lap the entire night. So, no, it was a pretty good effort. It was one of our older cars that we always run there at Bristol, but felt like we could have had a little more speed if we had practice them, because we could have changed our suspension settings a little bit, but all in all, pretty solid day for
Alex.
For us, sure.
It's monumental to be in the NASCAR Xfinity Series and trying to do what you are doing. And I know, man, you've got absolutely your heart, your soul, and everything into this. And so does Mario Gosselin. And to see Can-Am back on the 36 for, I believe, the next four races, that's going to be a huge boost.
Oh, for sure. It's a huge, huge boost. It's a huge break for us. We've been looking for that kind of a partnership for a long time, and Can-Am's been really important in my career. They've allowed me to run full time in 10 days in 2016 and 2017, and it was 2016 was my first year full time in NASCAR Xfinity Series, and that was pretty much my breakout year. And we won a championship in 2017. Then they allowed me to go run the Xfinity Series in 2018 also. So no, they've been pretty important. At a little break last year, we were working with BRP and Can-Am, but they've come back this year to end the season strong and trying to build something for next year. So it's we're really happy to have them back for sure. It's a huge help for a small team like us.
Alex, you've been monumental for them as well. You know, when you look back at what you've done on behalf of Can-Am and how you've represented them, you know, you got to take a lot of pride in the image that you've built up in the sport. You've built an image of performance, which every driver wants to have, but then you've also built a sportsman, you know, angle to what you are. And you know, fan-friendly. I mean, you can't get much more fan-friendly than Alex Labbe. You've done a lot of great things in the sport. Looking at the scheme, you guys had the same Can-Am style of scheme for a long time. The branding looked a lot different on the car, and man, did it ever look good!
Yeah, for sure, it's a lot different. It was BRP really. They designed the car for the little four races, and it was definitely outside the box, like a lot different design and different colors. But I think it looks pretty good. We had a lot of positive feedback too. People liked it, so now I think it's pretty bright. It's easier to spot my car on the track. That's what I think.
So you get on the track. You've got teammates as well with DGM. You got Josh Williams driving the number 92. He comes home with the 19th place finish. And let's not forget about Dexter Bean. Man, he was rough luck right out of the gate. I'm watching the screen, Alex, and I believe you guys are on about lap 14. I'm watching the ticker, and I see Dex come up, and he's three laps down. I went, there's no way that guy was just lap three laps in 14. And then I read on Saturday, I think it was, I'm watching or looking through my Twitter, see a Dexter one, and he said, "Ah, man, we got nailed with speeding right off the bat," and it put him behind the eight ball. You got other teammates is what I'm trying to get at. What's it like for you guys all to get together, get ready for a race, and head out there? It's got to be a monumental task.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's different. It's a really different year this year. We don't have any practice. We don't have any qualifying. We spend a lot less time at the track, for sure, but spend a lot of time with Josh. That we're always traveling together. We're always going to heat together before the race, and we try to get to the racetrack about 2 to 3 hours before, and I got a really good relationship with Dexter Tuzer, a really great guy. We have a lot of fun. We're pretty fun group of people for sure.
Dynamite stuff. So looking at the schedule, you got Vegas coming up next. That's going to be up for you this weekend. A real tough track there. Then you're off to Talladega, Charlotte, Kansas. You got a lot of big races coming up. Out of all of those, what do you most look forward to?
I mean, for sure, the Roval. I think the Roval is pretty much my favorite track, my best track where we got the most, that we had the most success in the past. So what I'm really looking forward to, the Roval. We finished sixth there last year, and we had a little motor problem all race long. We really gave up a lot of time in the straightaway. So I feel like this year we're going to go back there with Can-Am and try to go get my first top five for sure in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and hope that we can get out of there with a win.
Is it safe to say, Alex, you will be behind the wheel of the 36 car from here to the end of the season now?
Yeah, we've been with the 36. So we've switched points a couple of races ago, so I'll definitely be in the 36 till the end of the season.
Dynamite stuff, and you'll be able to build on the success now. I know the last time you ran a full season in NASCAR Xfinity, you came out with a top 20 finish overall. That's a huge accomplishment.
No, for sure. Now, I mean, I'm 14th in the points right now, and we're in the top 20 in the owner's points with both cars. So now we just try to keep the momentum going. We've struggled a lot in the middle of the year, just especially on our mile and a half program. We got a new car and just couldn't find a problem with it. We were lacking a lot of speed, and I feel like in the last month we've really clicked to where we should have been all year, and we're a lot more consistent. So we're just trying to keep that momentum till the end of the season and try to go get the 13th place finish in points if we can, but I feel like top 15 in points for us would be huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Monumental for what you guys are doing. Hats off to you. Vegas, this coming weekend. How are you going to attack this one? What's Mario got for a setup for you for this weekend, and are you going to change anything? You've been there before.
Yeah, we're going to have a brand new car for us. So we're building it. We work all day today in the shop trying to finish it. We're going to have a big week ahead of us, but we're going to bring a new car to the racetrack this weekend. So we're really looking forward to see what that car can do and if we can get a little more speed out of it. We know mile and a half is really like where we're not where we're struggling the most, but where big teams are really at their best. So we're just trying to pull that gap as much as possible, and we feel like we're bringing a pretty good piece of the racetrack this weekend.
Alex, we would never ask this question normally on the Xfinity side, right, or the Cup side or the truck side, but I do believe, like, you've spent a tremendous amount of time working on race cars. Do you spend much time working on the race car in the shop at DGM?
Especially this year with the COVID, I'm trying to travel as much as possible and been here for the last 2 weeks. And I'm usually when I come here, I stay here for 2-3 weeks just trying to make the trip worth it. So, yeah, I've been, we're going to work on the cars again. I'm at the shop and working on the cars again this week. So trying to get our stuff as ready as possible. And then, like I said, because we're bringing a new car to the racetrack, so just to fit everything in the car, it makes it a lot easier if I'm here, because it's pretty tough without any practice. We're at the racetrack. Drivers are at the racetrack for like 2 to 3 hours a week. So it's pretty tough to get dialed in and to get everything set up in the car like you want to in that short time lapse.
Absolutely. 100%.
Unreal. Alex, it's going to be a great weekend in Vegas. Good luck, and thanks so much for the time tonight. You go after it, man. We're watching. Canada's with you.
Awesome. No problem. Talk to you later, Joe.
You betcha. That's Alex Labbe. You can get him. And you know what we got to do? Absolutely everybody, if you haven't done this, please, please do this. Go to Alex Labbe's Twitter or his Facebook. Get involved and support that Canadian race team. What they're doing in NASCAR Xfinity is unbelievable. And wouldn't it be kind of cool to see something that Alex puts out there and Canada retweet it like 1,000 times? Wouldn't it just be so cool? And it happens. It can happen if everybody jumps behind it. Let's do it. Everybody, get behind them. Let's really give it a good shot. And I'll tell you what, Can-Am would notice, and wouldn't it be cool? That's what it's going to take, Junior, for us to have someone in there with a shot.
Yeah.
It's going to take the support, and that's how you get the support, is with the numbers.
You know, when you look at it, there's been lots of Canadian guys go down there and try to make a run at it, right? There's been tons of them. There's been not as many, obviously, as American, right?
There's
and nowhere near that number. But there's been quite a few Canadians go down south and try to make a run at it.
Yeah.
And right now we've got three that are making a run at it, right?
Yes.
You've got Raphael Lessard, you've got Stuart Friesen, and you've got Alex Labbé. They are actively pursuing, you know, betterment and getting better in the sport. You know, the amount of race fans here in Canada, we've got a tremendous amount of them.
We do.
And you know, the opportunity is there to create something that is Canadian, you know,
yes.
that all of Canada can put their stamp on. And you know what I think holds that back?
What?
Is the lack of coverage from the actual broadcast.
Yeah. Well, they don't touch it.
They don't talk about it.
They don't touch it.
They don't. It seems like everything that comes out of Mexico gets covered.
Yes.
Everything that comes out of Canada does not.
A lot of Mexican backing, right?
A lot of Mexican backing. But when you look at, you know, the coverage, it's tough for Canadians to get behind it. Because there are, we are avid race fans. We know that Alex Labbé is Canadian. And everybody that's, you know, vested in the sport knows that Alex Labbé is Canadian.
Yep.
But I wouldn't doubt that there was, you know, 100 or 200,000 people from Canada that watched that race from Bristol and has no idea that Alex Labbé is Canadian.
Yeah, I'll guarantee it.
And you know, I think the IndyCar series, I think the ISMA series, I think the Formula One series does a way better job of getting the patriotic angle from all the different countries that are backing, you know, or involved on the racetrack. I think that NASCAR is missing the boat a little bit on covering the fact that there's Canadians, covering the fact that there's, you know, people from different countries involved in the sport.
And that's not to say that they don't mention it ever. They do, but it's very, very spotty. Very spotty. And I think they're, like you say, missing the international flavor of what they've got. And if they want to build on that, they're going to have to fess up and start some coverage.
Well, I think you're seeing it. They need to start building on it. They've got 12 ARCA cars, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got, you know, really their feeder division right now is NASCAR Mexico and NASCAR Pinty's. Like when you look at the grand scheme of things right now.
Yeah.
You know, they have to start drawing international because it's international money now.
Yep.
You know, it's not it doesn't cost $5 million to run the Cup Series anymore. It costs, you know, 40.
Yep.
It costs $45 to $50 million.
Yep.
And that's if you want to rent everything. If you want to buy everything, it's $100 million.
Yeah.
So like when you look at it, you know, it's international money now, and if you know you want to start attracting more money, you need to go international. So I think that that's the part that is missing in the NASCAR broadcast scheme of things is covering the nationalities and kind of, you know, embracing that a little bit, because if they don't start doing that, they're going to miss an opportunity.
And you know what? We can all, as Canadians, make a difference. You listening right now can make a difference when Alex does something. Or DGM, get behind it. Get behind it, retweet it, quote it, do whatever. But just, I don't know, and I can't make you do it. I'm just saying if we want a difference, we want to make a difference, then it's going to come down to all of us. And as individuals, if we all did it, I'm telling you what, it would blow the socks off of not only the team, they would feel fantastic, but I'll guarantee you NASCAR would notice, and they say, wow, how come the spike? Well, let's show them. Let's do it. Let's start, and let's do it with the race in Vegas. I got to hit a break. We're going to be back. We got so much more to come. Donald Chisholm coming up, Riverside International Speedway. We got lots. Stay with us. We will be back.
Glenn Watson, driver of the 22 Race 2-Way Oscar Super Late Model, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quick Wick. They work.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Racetime Radio. Only on Sirius XM 167. We get you close. If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to Racetime Radio. We're back with you live here in the Racetime Radio studio, and we are going back to the hotline. We're going to go all the way out to Antigonish, Nova Scotia, and bring in Donald Chisholm, driver of the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford. At least I think he's 89 this year. Might be 88. We'll find out. Let's welcome him in. Donald, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
Hey, guys. How are you tonight? Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. 89, 88. What number we got on the door?
Yeah, back to the 89 for this year.
Gotta love it. The old familiar luck, and you had a lot of success with that number 89 on that door. And we got a big race coming in to Riverside International Speedway. First one of the year. I can't believe it. But nevertheless, the Tourmalet Cat 150 coming up this coming weekend. What's the thoughts heading into that, baby?
Oh, just excited to finally have an event to host at Riverside this year. It was 2020's been a tough year for a lot of folks, and certainly been tough on racing. So, you know, generally we're finishing up our schedule for the season, you know, this weekend generally. So it's a little late to be having our first race of the year, but I guess all things considered, we put a lot of time and effort into, you know, first off getting permission to hold an event with a few spectators, and it just took a lot of back and forth to get to this point. So excited to have Tourmalet Cat on board, and excited to at least make a few laps in competition at the racetrack this year.
Well, hats off to you. I know the fans have been going crazy, wishing and hoping for a race, as we all have. And good on you guys. You got General Manager Paul McLean. You know you're in good hands when Paulie gets things ready to go. It's going to be a spectacular weekend. What all is on tap for this weekend?
So it's it will be a 150, and the support class will be the Napa Sportsman cars. So it's a little it's obviously nowhere near a July IWK 250 weekend, but like I say, September 26th is late, so we with limited fans and sort of the new set of rules we have to operate under, we figured we'd stick with a pretty quick, clean show and try to get the sportsman cars and the pro stocks out there.
It's going to be a treat, I can guarantee it. For any fan that's lucky enough to be able to get a ticket into this one, they're in for a dynamite show. I know I noticed on Twitter just the other night, it looks like most of the sections are sold out because you got limited capacity. In fact, is the whole thing sold out yet, or do you know, is there still some tickets available?
It's pretty close. There are a few available as of this evening, so whether they will last, I don't know. But it's too bad that we have to limit the seating capacity. And anyway,
yeah,
it's just the rules we have to live under. And although the Atlantic bubble is in effect for all Atlantic provinces, the way each province handled crowd sizes was quite different, so I guess better late than never, and sure hope we're not under any of these measures next summer, but wanted to try and get an event in to make sure if we had to function this way next year that we had a little look at what it might look like or how to pull it off.
Yeah. Well, and learning, right? Hopefully, as you mentioned, hopefully we don't have to worry about this, and hopefully there is a vaccine and everybody can get it and life can return to somewhat normal. But you know what? There's a lot of hope involved in what I just said, and hopefully it all happens. One thing we do know for sure, this coming weekend, September the 26th, there is going to be a 150, the Toromont Cat 150 at Riverside International Speedway. And it's going to be one for absolutely everybody to tune into. There will be some live audio coverage, at least I hope there is. Is that the plan, Donald, or is it developed yet?
My understanding is Tim will Tim'sCorner.ca will be doing the race, the broadcast, much like he's done, you know, a number of races that he's attended this year in, I guess, New Brunswick and a few Friday nights and last weekend in Halifax for the Jim Hallahan 250. So I guess for those that aren't able to attend or get a ticket, not as good as being there, but certainly it'll help for those that can't make it.
Absolutely. Donald, can I get you to hang around just for like 90 seconds? I got to throw it back to Toronto, do a quick news update. It only takes 90 seconds, and then we're back for hour two. Can I get you to hang in just for a minute? I got some questions on the 89.
Sure, no problem.
Absolutely. So that's what we're going to do, everybody. I'm going to throw it back to Scotty in Toronto, get you up to date on your news and highlights. 90 seconds, and then we're back with Donald Chisholm live on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on.
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you. You are the man.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio.
Channel 90. We're back with our number two of Racetime Radio. With the two Joes here on Racetime Radio on Sirius XM 167, where Canada talks.
And And just like that, hour number two begins live tonight on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in. We do have Donald Chisholm on the hotline, driver of the number 89 Nova Celtic Ford in the Parts for Truck Series. Of course, Riverside International Speedway is where the race is coming up this coming weekend. It's the Tormont Cat 150. And the 89 car definitely preparing for this race. Donald, you've got a great winning percentage. You do really well at Riverside International Speedway on the high banks. What's the thoughts heading into this 150? You got to be excited.
Yeah, no, looking forward to it. It's been, I think it's 2017 since we actually last won there. So it's been a little while. We're maybe due, but... Again, usually get three cracks at it a year, so this year just the one. But we tested the car a week or so ago. Seemed to do everything we wanted it to. Sometimes those things happen on test days and don't always happen on race day. But it sort of felt like it used to when we were a little running a little better at Riverside. So looking forward to it, hoping to see a good car count and. Hopefully put on a good show for the fans.
Well, you know, everybody's going to be excited, especially coming off the Mike Stevens Memorial 200 that just happened last night out at Petty International Raceway. Jonathan Hicken, man, that guy is flying right now. He's on a real roll, Donald. It's going to be tough to beat those guys. This time around, you're going to have all those I's dotted and T's crossed. They've got some laps on.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's a number of guys that have raced quite a few weekends in New Brunswick. So, no doubt those guys will be tough to beat. The 5 car, you know, the 53, the usual suspects, I'm sure, will be fast. So it's never easy. You don't go in expecting to win. You sort of hope to go in having a car that's competitive and then, you know, see how the race unfolds, and if you've got anything left at the end, hopefully you're somewhere close to the front.
Now, when it comes time for 150s at Riverside, I love your percentage in that. You, over the years, have had real good success, whether it was the Ron McGilvery 150, the Lucas Oil 150. I can remember a lot of different times that, man, that number 89 car would turn on with, out of 25 to go, it looked like you had saved a bunch. Do you got to do that at Riverside? You got to save to have stuff at the end? Or a 150, can you let her hang?
I don't know if you can let it hang for 150 laps, or you might run out a little early. It just depends, right? If you can get out front and set your pace, that's great. Sometimes you're out front and you've got somebody that's pushing you a little harder than you'd maybe like to go at that point. So, if you're not having a good day, maybe you're not at the front. So, it's a short race in the scheme of things, so not a lot of opportunities to pit without obviously giving up a ton of track position. So, I think you want a good balanced car. And, you know, anytime we've been good at Riverside, our car just rolled the middle really well. And anytime you can make time through the middle on other cars, that's usually a pretty good combination for Riverside.
Yeah, it'll pay dividends when you exit that turn four or turn two. Beautiful racetrack, man. I love that place. Established in 1969, Riverside International Speedway, one of those tracks that absolutely everybody has to get through after this pandemic. Get Riverside on that schedule. Whenever we talk Riverside, Donald, the number 88, usually piloted by George Koskulik. How's old George making out? I know he's a crucial part of your team, but every now and then we get a chance to bolt him in and turn him on and see what he's got. Is he going to be in this 150?
I don't think George is going to be behind the wheel in this one, although we still got a few, we're almost still a week out, so things could change. But anyway, right now, I don't think George will be driving. I think he'll... he'll have his crew chief hat on this coming Saturday.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. George knows what to do on top of the box or behind the wheel. Always exciting. Always look forward to watching both of you guys on the track. Car count-wise, do we know now if guys are signed up and registered, or will you find that out later in the week as you get closer to the event?
It's probably going to be Tuesday before we know for sure, but I think we're expecting 21, 22 cars. So for a pandemic year, I guess that's a pretty respectable turnout.
Donald, obviously, you know, you're a busy guy, you know, on across the board. I think everybody in racing, you know, knows that you're super busy all the time. You've got the wick turned up and you know, racing, you know, is part of that, is a huge part of that. But, you know, on the business side, you're always working on the other side to make sure that the racing can continue through this whole pandemic deal. You know, what does it look like? Take your driver and you know, you're going to work hat off, but what's it do? What do you see it doing to the race base? You know, we just had Vino on the program. We were talking a little bit about this, but, you know, I want your perspective on it as well. What do you see it doing on the other side of this pandemic when we get to, you know, go back to normal or what normal is? What do you see it doing to racing itself?
That's a good question. You know, sometimes I guess when you've got to change things so drastically, sometimes maybe you figure out or notice a way that's been better what you were doing. So I don't know exactly what that is. You know, no question, anything that's dependent on large groups of people to gather, those are the things that have really suffered through the pandemic. So, you know, is it a sustainable thing at the level it was with a limited crowd going forward? I don't know. That's going to be tough. And, you know, as racers, I think part of it is racing in front of a big crowd. So, you know, I think, you know, simple things like electronic tickets as opposed to handing off tickets and using a cell phone to scan. I think there's some technologies like that that will become more common. But I guess, you know, from a racing perspective, I think we're such a fan-based thing that it's going to be tough to continue to put on big events if we're not going to be able to support it with the crowds. So hopefully that goes away by next year. Can we get through a year or something when if it's got to be limited? Probably, but you know, long term, that really would make things look differently, I think.
Yeah, big time. Right now, you can, if there is tickets still available, get to riversidespeedway.ca. All the information will be there. All the race information will be there. And if there's tickets still available, then you can buy them there. But grandstand's going to look different this time around, isn't it, Donald, where it's all segregated into each pod so that these fans don't get mixed with those fans and you don't break any laws and everybody gets a chance to see a race.
Yeah, no, it is going to be a little peculiar to see you know, see people spread out that much at the racetrack. But, you know, we've got some indications we'll have a visit from public health. And in reality, I guess Scotia Speed World's race, the Jim Hallahan 250 last weekend, that would have been the biggest gathering of anybody in the province of Nova Scotia since probably, I don't know, maybe March. Mm. And again, this weekend it will be us. So, you know, the two race, Scotia and Riverside, made a short list of five different venues that have been considered with an approved plan to host more, to have more than 250 people. So we got to make sure we do it right and that we still have an opportunity to do it, you know, going forward.
Well, if anybody can pull it off, I know you guys can. Paul McLean at that racetrack. Paul is definitely the guy. If there's an I or a T, the guy's got it, and he does a masterful job. When you look at the IWK 250, probably one of the, if not the biggest short track races in all of Canada, and how that all comes together and flows so nicely, you know you're in good hands. Donald, this Tourmont Cat 150, I know you're only going to have a limited attendance there at the track, but I can guarantee you there's going to be a lot of people cranked on to timscorner.ca to listen to this. It's genuinely going to be a dynamite show. It will be one and done, right, for Riverside. You're only going to do one race this year, and that's it?
That's how it looks right now, I think. Just with the fall upon us, you know, short days, cool evenings, we'll get through one and sort of see what we did well and see what we have to improve on and try to be ready for a proper 2021.
Yeah, and no doubt the calendar is running out on us, bud. This has been great catching up with you tonight. We surely appreciate the time. Go get that 89 Nova Celtic Ford ready to go. I can honestly say we all miss you. Jerry is going nuts right now down in Paris, Ontario. He wants to go to Riverside so bad. But you know what? We will be there in 2021, and you can guarantee we'll be there listening to everything that takes place this coming Saturday, bud. Good luck with the race.
Hey, you told him to get it ready. It's been ready for, like, months now. That car's been sitting on jack stands, just ready to go, right, John?
Yeah.
Right,
ready,
Donald?
To roll. Yeah, it's getting closer to the door on its own.
Yeah, get that big black hauler loaded up. It's time to get one, Donald.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks a million, and love to talk to you next Sunday night, hopefully, as the winner of the Tourmont Cat 150.
Wouldn't that be cool? We will have the winner on live here. Donald, good luck in the race. Go get him.
All right. Thanks, guys.
You betcha. Donald Chisholm, driver of that Nova Celtic Ford. I'll tell you what, that place is going to look pretty wild. You put 1,250 people in at Riverside. As you know, Joe, you've been to that track a lot of times. You'd be able to shoot a cannon and not hit anybody.
Hey, man, we've had a Pinty's race on a rain day on a Monday and had more than 1,200 people there.
Yeah.
It's going to look like absolutely empty. But, you know, I think that once you get to the other side of this, it's going to be interesting. And talking to Donald, there's no better guy to ask right now than of what's happening.
Sure.
You know, And it's interesting that he mentioned the you know, touchless paying to get in and those social distances. I can see a lot of innovation coming from this whole deal.
Yep.
And whether
it be, learn from it.
Whether it be, you know, just shorter days at the racetrack, whether it be, you know, no qualifying, you know, for the NASCAR guys, whether that trickles down into the asphalt world, you know, shorter practice sessions, draw for position type deals like you're seeing in the Pinty's deal.
Yep.
You're seeing a lot of differences. And when you go to a racetrack, you noticed it at Sunset. There's different nuances to how the day plays out.
Yes.
There's differences in what's happening. And I think that, you know, on the other side of this deal, racing is going to always find a way to continue. But what is it going to look like on the other side? Now, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on it, too. Like, send us a note on Twitter of what you think is going to change about motorsports over the next 12 months. Because it's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, what's going to change from the fan base? The fan base, that's what we want to know. What's going to change in your mind? Are you ready to go back to a full grandstand? Do you think you'll be ready to go back? What will it take to get you back to a full grandstand? I know we got a lot of diehards that would go today, but there's a lot of fair weather fans, if you will, that may have a different opinion. Let's see what it's going to take. We're going to hit a break. We will be back with you coming up. How about a champion for 2020? He did it last night. Albert Francis in the number 33. He's the new Pro Late Model champion at Jennerstown Speedway in Pennsylvania. He's going to join us live on the hotline on the other side of the break. Stay with us.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need.
Troy Taylor, head scorer at Delaware Speedway. You're listening to Race Time Radio. coast to coast. You're listening to Canada Talks.
East Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning man.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bowl shopping.
Hey, sir, I got 50 jars of dunk sauce.
We don't even eat dunk sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports. And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the Sirius XM app.
Winter is on the way. Cold temperatures mean we light fires to warm up or cook on, sometimes even to survive. Quick fire starters are a must in your kit, in your sled, ATV, or vehicle. Quick just may save your life if you get stranded this winter. Enjoy the winter. We're Canadian. And so is QuickWick. They're available online. Go to QuickWick.com, enter promo code RTR, and save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. QuickWick Fire Starters. They work.
Rev TV is Canada's own motorsports network, featuring live races and rallies from around the world and right here at home. Rev TV is your destination for motorsports action 24/7.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere, doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how. Racetime Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you got to do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's break this home.
Right here on RacetimeRadio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
Thanks, Polar Bear. We are back on Racetime Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight on Sirius XM, Channel 167, Canada Talks. We go back to the hotline now, and let's welcome in, I believe this is our second champion of 2020. This young driver we've had on since the spring, and kind of cool when you can follow a guy all the way through. It is Albert Francis, driver of the number 33. He's from south of the border, and he's got himself a championship at Jennerstown Speedway in that 33. Dynamite job. Bring him up. What's going on there, Albert? Good job, and congratulations on the championship.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Man, it's been a busy day for you. Not only a busy weekend, I should say. You've had that number 33 at Jennerstown working on that championship. You get that, and you load up, and now, boom, you head out to another racetrack. What's are you running on fumes yet?
Not really. I get to sleep all the way in the sleeper. I'm sure my dad is. He's driving. So it's definitely a hike from Jennerstown to Indianapolis, and you're running on a little sleep since you woke up so early to race the Saturday anyway. But definitely, if you like to race, I guess you got to travel.
Have car, will travel,
yeah,
right, Albert?
That's the way to do it.
One good thing is it sounds pretty quiet. Did your dad pull over so that you could do the interview? You guys have like the quietest transport truck of all time.
We're in a traffic jam right now.
So. Oh, I got you. So it's just you know that big Francis Engineering motor ain't screaming right now. She ain't doing 100 mile an hour. Albert,
we actually just got rolling.
It's going to get loud. he's jamming gears.
Boost and we're rolling.
That's awesome. Albert, looking at the season so far, You know, obviously it looked different for everybody. It's basically the theme of RTR is since the pandemic, everybody's schedule had to jumble up and change since the beginning of the year. But rolling into the beginning portion of the year, you had a really ambitious travel schedule. COVID hit. It kind of changed your plans a little bit at the beginning, but then changed it a lot throughout the course of the year, just simply because you were in the points hunt at Jennerstown. Talk to us a little bit about the season, for all the race fans that didn't keep up with what you had going on. Talk to us a little bit about the season and the changes that were made and then obviously the decision to go full time at Jennerstown.
It was definitely a decision we didn't make off the rip. Definitely a tough deal because I actually had 2 DNFs this year that really hurt me in the points hunt. So I had a lot of first one. It was just like a deal I got collected and nowhere to go. So then we had them couple big races there that we were in pretty good at. Got collected by a lap car in one and had an electrical issue in the other. So we've been pretty fast there all year.
Yeah, definitely. You lit the lamp, right? You set a new track record at Jennerstown at the Motor Mountain Masters. I think one of the things that jumps off the page and really is pretty cool, and it's more of a statistic for a driver than anybody else, but you were undefeated other than one time in qualifying all year long at Jennerstown Speedway. That's including the CRA Series, that's including the Motor Mountain Invitational, and then basically every other race. You finished second that other time that you got beat, so you never finished outside the top two, but you had... what, 10 heat wins and two time trial victories throughout the course of the year?
Yeah, I think it was 11 heat wins, 3 futures, and 2 fast time awards for the big event.
That's a big year. That's a big year for anybody.
Yeah, you got a lot of statistics in there. Take us back to last night's race. I did try and grab a little bit of it off Facebook, but you had a 6-point lead in the championship going into the night. And it looked like you had your work cut out for you, my friend, in that 33 car. Take us back to last night, the championship run. What all unfolded?
Well, actually, the guy in third in points were in the same heat race with Audi, which he was in second. So it actually helped us out that the guy in third beat Audi, and it gave us an 8-point lead going into the feature. So that made it clear we had to finish either fifth or better. But they do a redraw thing there from the heat races, and by the luck of the draw, I drew a 10, and Audi drew the pole, so I had my work cut out for me to get up there. We had to dodge a couple wrecks, because, you know, when they put slow cars to the front, it's not really normally the best outcome. So
was there big picture racing last night inside that 33, or were you just forgetting about the points and going for the win if you could get it?
Well, I always go for the win if I can get it, but not worth tearing up a race car when I'm planning on running it the next day. So
Albert, talk to us a little bit about what you've got coming up now. You got the championship at Jennerstown. That wasn't planned, but you've got some big races and some big aspirations coming up for the rest of 2020.
Yeah, I got the Winchester 400 coming up. The All-American 400 in Asheville, and we're planning on running the Snowball Derby. So if all goes well, you know, 2020's been, it might not go as planned, but as of right now, that's my plan.
That's basically the holy grail of late model racing.
Yeah,
right there.
I would say.
That's a busy plan. Even though there's a month in between everything, that's definitely a lot of work to get prepared and get ready for it. Albert, talk to us the sponsorship side on your car. There's tons of support on that 33 team, as always.
Yeah, I normally use my car to cheat off of, but Rack Hunter, Francis Engineering, Abco Tool, Legan Trucking, Jet Hot, Able Vault, Emily, Tool, and Epic Racewear, and L&R Asphalt, and I think that's about it.
Demilta yeah. Sand and Gravel. It's the only other yeah. one. The only other one that's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good job on the championship, my friend. How'd you make out at Indy today? How did it go?
We were on 10th. We didn't get much. I got about 7 practice laps there, and I've never been there before. And we had the wrong gear in the car. We couldn't find the right gear before we had to qualify because they only give us 10 minutes in between. So I just had to flip the gear I had in the car, which gave us way too much. And then we had to pull out of line, and we changed that, put some water in the car for me getting hot, and started at the tail. We worked our way up there. I think we were running 8th at one point, and then we just started losing forward drive off the corner. So it just kind of rising at that point.
So you learned a bunch today.
Yeah, quite a bit. It'd have been a lot easier for me if we'd have had a little more practice to figure out what the car would have done in the long run. Just a little difficult going into a race seat at a track you've never been to.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, and you need that. I'll tell you what, you'll know what you need the next time you head down to Indianapolis, and that's kind of cool. Albert, thanks for the time tonight. Congratulations on that championship. And I know we look forward to watching how you make out in those big races that are coming up. You're going to be a threat. That's kind of cool.
Thank you.
You betcha. That's Albert Francis, driver of the number 33. Ambitious schedule. Things all change up, but look at the results the guy's got.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got a chance to spot for him last year at Jucasa. Just a tremendous talent. And the kid is, he's on it. He's fired up. And, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about. Was it last week or the week prior? We had, it was Austin Tucker we had on.
Yep.
On.
Yep.
Very calm, cool, and collected in an interview. Very just nice and chill, you know, to talk to. Albert's the same way. You know, like, it seems like such a trend right now. The kids that are, not the kids, you know, the young drivers that are yep. out there that are actually getting wins, that are getting fired up and getting out there and posting numbers on the board, are all the same on the way that they approach everything.
Yep.
You know, they're super calm outside the car. But you strap a helmet on them and look out, they turn into animals. And that's, you know, when you talk about it, that list just continues to grow. And since we've talked about it, I've actually had that conversation with a couple other guys.
Yeah.
But like Brandon Watson and, you know, Ashton Tucker and Albert Francis and even the guys that are in the development programs for like Kyle Busch Motorsports, you know, for Toyota Racing Development, you know, Chandler Smith, right? We've had him on the program.
Yep.
Super just chill, just, you know, very even keel. And, you know, it's really interesting to see that dynamic because it wasn't about 10 years ago or 5 years ago even where the development drivers that were coming through the ranks, they were all fired up and gung-ho and they had personality and they were hyperactive and not to say that they don't have personality, but they're not out there in your face.
Too much rock star.
Yeah, that's what it would have been back then, right? Yeah. But it's really interesting to see that dynamic playing out right now.
Well, there was action at Sunset Speedway, and I want to just touch on some of these winners. We will have AJ Ems. He was the modified winner. We're going to have him on next week. Things got jammed up this week, but I wanted to let you know AJ Ems. He ended that Andy Camera streak. Andy, 6 in a row, going for 7. He finished 2nd yesterday at Sunset Speedway. Also want to put it out to Tom Walters. Everybody knows Hall of Fame Tom Walters from Sunset Speedway. He won his first hot rod race. So congratulations to Tom Walters. He's the Ramblin' Man. He took that Rambler to victory lane. Mac DeMann gets the win in the Can-Am Midget feature. And James Stanley comes home with the sprint race. He was the winner there. Another first-time winner, this time on dirt, in his great sprint car. Got to put it out to Alan Downey. He was victorious Friday night at Merrittville Speedway. We're, again, going to get Alan on this show. He jumped into a 360 sprint car on last night, I believe. So he won Friday night. He got an opportunity in the 360. We'll talk to him about it when we get him on the show. Got to let you know the APC race is next weekend at Jukasa, and it is the final race of the year for the APC series. And then, of course, we hit the road, Flamborough Speedway, October the 3rd, presented by London Rec. Myself, Jerry Paxton, Jim Irvin is going to come along and be on the broadcast as well. How about that? You got really the voice of Flamborough Speedway from back in the day forever, Jerry Paxton. And you got the voice of Sauble Speedway in Jim Irvin. This cool. is really going to be cool. I look forward to it. Hopefully Gary Collin can jump in with us.
Yes.
And he is now the voice of Flamborough Speedway. With all of that, we got the vintage modifieds, the late models, the super stocks, mini stocks. It's going to be incredible. And Mike is doing his traditional. It's Frostoberfest.
Exactly.
Mike has got those traditional igloos, the ones that are handmade. He's got them. They're coming in. And how cool is that? The Frostoberfest is one of those landmark events that they've all built into, and we're going to have it live for you on Racetime Radio, all live, the whole show.
And a really interesting thing, and it's actually just coming across here via text, for that race at Flamborough, there's a guy that's coming out of retirement.
Woo, who's that?
And he hasn't turned a lap in a long time,
okay.
But he turned a lot of laps when he raced.
Who is it?
Wayne Keeling.
Really?
Is race
Wayne Keeling?
Donald Reinhart and them built a Larry Knott and Donald Reinhart and those guys and Wayne Keeling as well, put together a late model, you know, over the past, you know, year
mm-hmm,
and a half.
Mm-hmm.
They've been working at it, you know, and picking away at it. Donald Reinhart, you know, is going to be the driver,
right.
but Wayne put this whole deal together with him.
God, I love it.
And Wayne is going to jump behind the wheel and knock the rust off this car, and he's going to be the first one to pilot it.
We
so
have to get Wayne
really
on
cool.
the show.
Wayne Keeling, you know, you talk we about Don Biederman, and you talk about Junior Hanley, and you talk about Bill Zardo. The next name that you're going to mention in that group of four, and
yes.
it could be first, it could be fourth, but Wayne Keeling would be in that list.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I was a fan of Flamborough Speedway mm-hmm. growing up. Wayne Keeling was definitely one guy that I would always have my eye on.
100%.
John Thompson moving in storage on that machine.
Yep.
Love watching him. Dynamite stuff. We got to get him on the show. Another shout out I got to do, the Toyo Tire F1600 series was at CTMP on the weekend. Connor Wagland comes away with a fourth place finish on Saturday. Don't know how he made out today, but I want to put a shout out to Mike Stewart. He's a driver for Brian Graham Racing. He had a bad wreck. I don't know whether it was practice or whether it was actual competition, but he ended up breaking a femur bone. So we want to put a shout out definitely to Mike and hopefully a speedy recovery for him so that he can get back in that F1600. And have a look at our Twitter page, our Facebook. My brother-in-law, Gary, fired me some photos. He was there all weekend with the 23 car. Looks like a dynamite weekend. There is still one big weekend to go for those guys. And we'll try and maybe get the winner on or get you some content with the F1600 group. We'll see how things are progressing with Peterborough Speedway. I sent a text out to JP to find out how Autumn Colors is coming. As soon as he has more information, we will have him on this show to roll it all out for everybody. Again, it's going to be a limited capacity. All of that will take place, but we'll have JP on to give us the latest on the Autumn Colors Classic weekend at Peterborough Speedway. They did get under the green flag this weekend, but hopefully Autumn Colors happens. That'd be kind of cool. We're going to hit this break. When we come back, how about a Canadian champion in the NASCAR Pinty Series? Caden Lapcevich, of course, everybody knows Caden. He was a champion a couple of years ago. He's down south. And he was in two huge races this past weekend. Just yesterday, the Glass City 200 and the CRA race. He had a bullet in both. He podiumed in both. We'll talk to him next, right here on Racetime Radio. Stay with us.
This is John Houghton, announcer at Delaware Speedway, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
Ice Time Radio heads back to the track for live flight-to-flight coverage.
You know you gotta do.
Saturday, October the 3rd. Coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. All presented by London Recreational.
You can throw a blanket over, you'll cover them all.
At Flamborough Speedway for Frostoberfest 2020.
Clear, clear, clear.
All live Saturday, October 3rd at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Let's bring this home.
Right here on racetimeradio.com.
Yeah! Hey, good job, bud.
Get your race fix anytime online.
www.racetimeradio.com.
Also available on Facebook.
Just search Racetime Radio.
And as always, you can drop us an email.
info@racetimeradio.com.
From two wheels to four and so much more, Rev TV also features exclusive live race series, up-to-date news coverage, documentaries, how-to programs, and so much more. Rev TV offers you the best seat in the house to feel the rush. Go green with Rev TV. Contact your TV provider to order.
Is it your job to light the fire, the campfire, or maybe you're like me and you heat your home with wood? You need to use a Quick Wick. These fire starters work, no paper or kindling, and presto, your fire is going every time. No toxic fumes, just warm, enjoyable flames. You can get them online. Go to quickwick.com and use promo code RTR to save up to 20%, and they ship to your door. Quickwick, they work.
Even though Napa is a nationally known name, nearly all of our stores are built from the ground up by local owners and families. People you might call neighbors will be here, there, and everywhere. Doing what neighbors do to keep their communities moving forward. You stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, you can count on Napa know-how.
Tonight's Racetime Radio is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts Stores, New Glasgow, Antigonish, and Port Hawkesbury, Nova Scotia. You can count on Napa know-how.
Broadcasting live from the track.
We're here to get trophies.
Never give up, baby.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio Channel 90 is your home for all things NASCAR.
The yellow lights come on. And
oh. Perfect! Yeah!
Everything's happening so fast.
Every race.
Hard contact into the safer barrier.
Exclusive interviews.
This is more than just a job. We don't get caught up in being famous.
The only broadcasting outlet in the world delivering NASCAR 24/7, 365.
Thank you, you are the man.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio
Channel 90.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Racetime Radio is back. Once again, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live right here tonight on SiriusXM Channel 167. So glad you could tune in. Hello to all of our listeners throughout the course of the week that tune in on the PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com, X98.9 XFM out in Antigonish, and, of course, Gearhead Country Radio. Also, air Racetime Radio throughout the course of the week. And hello to absolutely all of you. Thanks for listening. Let's get back to the hotline, shall we? The Glass City 200. It was all live on speed51.com, I do believe. And I know Canadian fans were tuned in and zoned in to the driver, the number 16. His name, Caden Lapcevich. We all know Caden. What's going on tonight there, kiddo? How are you?
Good, you?
Not bad at all. Not a bad weekend for you. A lot of effort. You had two real fast bullets, two big races at Toledo.
Yeah, it was a long week, actually. We had just finished putting the Outlaw car together Thursday night so we could shake it down on Friday. And there was a lot of times during the week where I was like, man, I don't know if this thing's going to get done. Like, there was a lot of work in it, but it all paid off come Saturday. We brought two really good race cars to the racetrack, I think. They were obviously pretty quick in qualifying. I made a mistake on the setup back at the shop in the Templar car that probably cost us a little bit of speed during the race. And then in the Outlaw, like three motors blew up in a matter of 10 laps down the backstretch, and it was just covered in oil, and we were slipping around, and I got into it got into the oil and four-wheel drifted into somebody, ripped the right front off, and it just wasn't the same after that.
Oh, man, you hate it when that happens.
That is one thing with those outlaw cars. Like, you don't see it too often anymore at, like, Crate Late Model Racing. You don't see it too often in the template Super Lates because they're all that equalizer deal. Those motors are basically bulletproof. But when you go to an outlaw race or you go to a super modified race, you still see motors expire, and especially at a place like Toledo.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about outlaw racing, and it's just the first thing that comes to mind is survive.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can keep the motor in it, keep all the fenders on it, especially at a place like Toledo or Jucasa where aero is a thing. Yep. I mean, you're sitting pretty good at looking at a top five just if you can put those two things together.
And, Caden, it's so different. The Canadian side with the super late models that we have here versus the super late models that are running down south that you ran the Glass City 200 in. Two totally different mindsets. One, you're running a 200-lap race. I don't know if our cars up here could even run a 150-lap race. What's your thoughts on something like that? Because I know the guys are building them real fast, but they're like a sprint car up here versus down south.
Yeah, I mean, well, with the Glass City, they call it the Glass City 200 because it used to be a 200-lapper back in the day, but now it's a 100-lapper in the Temple Body car and 100 in the Outlaw car. But, I mean, it's still quite the endurance race nowadays because we're pushing the absolute limits on the cars. We twist the motors as hard as we can every lap. We run the car as hard as we can. It's just, you know, it's like I said, you got to survive in them. You got to maintain your stuff and keep the motor under it. That's the big thing.
You know, Oscar was heading in this direction and was heading into a direction where, you know, where we're seeing it go on the southern side. You know, I think that Oscar, the competitor base that was in it and the teams that were in it, we were seeing the teams start to push their stuff to the breaking point, you know, and it was starting to get to the point where it was getting really expensive. Obviously, this game is never cheap, but Outlaw Super Late Model Racing takes it to a whole new level. What are some of the cost-saving measures that you're seeing down there, Caden, that are actually working?
Well, I think one of the, I keep saying it's a survival thing and they're blowing motors left, right, and center, but, you know, at Toledo, and there's quite a few tracks in the Midwest now, they put us on an 8200 chip, so we can't really twist our motors as hard as we would like to. Like, when we're in Canada at Jucasa, we twist our motor pretty hard just because that's where the power's made, it's up high and all that, but, you know, I think there they're trying to help us and not twist our motors to avoid things like, you know, blowing three motors up in a matter of 10 laps. But, you know, on the other hand, it's still an outlaw. It's pretty open. You can pretty much do whatever you want to them. You can sort of make the body how you want. You know, there's a few rules, like a couple measurements you got to do. But, you know, other than that, they really haven't tried to cut the cost back for outlaw racing. They just sort of, you know, limited to, like, with RPM and stuff. It's just the small little things.
So you're the last conversation that we had, you were getting set to go start working at Rowdy Manufacturing down in the U.S. How is that coming along? And were those cars Rowdy cars that you put together for the weekend?
Well, it's been fun. It's been a lot of traveling lately because I've been racing in the Midwest up in Wisconsin and Indiana and stuff. So I've been on an airplane about every weekend, it seems like, just traveling back and forth. And actually, this past week, I was up there for the week. So we tested our template car on Tuesday, and then the outlaw car wasn't really close to being ready. So my boss, Cody Glick, said, you know, just stay there, get the stuff ready, make sure it's right and all that. And I don't know, I'm liking it. I'm having a lot of fun, learning a lot. And, you know, it's always cool to see race cars that you work on and from the start all the way to the finish go out and end up in victory lane.
Ah, so living the dream, doing what you sort of dreamt of when you were a little bit younger than what you are today.
Exactly. I mean, my dream was always to be a racer, but like in the, one of the higher series, but at some point you gotta set a more realistic goal, I think, with the opportunities that are handed to you. So this was an opportunity I couldn't pass down. It was my way to get to North Carolina and sort of try and make that next jump in my career.
Absolutely.
So when is your next race? You come off two podiums, two third place finishes, not shabby, hey, by any stretch. You can't be ashamed of that. What's next for you? What do you got planned from here to the end?
I'm not too sure, to be honest, right now. There's talk that we might end up at Rockford for the short track super late nationals, I think they call it. It's in a couple weeks, but I think that's kind of up in the air. The Winchester 400 is a possibility, but it also conflicts with Oktoberfest at La Crosse, which is another really big show. So there might be some decisions we have to make there. Nashville All-American 400 weekend is also in the talks, and maybe if we get a pretty decent sponsor, we might end up at the Derby too.
Ah, nice. That's all big stuff, Junior. That's a lot of travel, a lot of big shows.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely ambitious. Back-to-back guys that we've had on with a very similar outlook on schedule. Caden, I look forward to seeing what you can put together down there, and definitely should be cool. I would choose the Winchester 400 over lacrosse. Winchester just looks cool.
I know. I really want to, but
I'm just
Greg
kidding.
McCarns and everybody at the Midwest Tour have been so good to us, so it's hard to make a decision.
I know, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody at lacrosse. Yeah. Lacrosse is a cool track. Yeah. I just it's Winchester.
It's Winchester.
When you put Winchester side by side with anything, I choose. Winchester's just cool. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah, it's just what it is. It's going to be a dynamite race. I know it's going to be dynamite, whatever race you go to get into. And hopefully that list is shorter in the preparation side, but it never is with you guys. More speed, you want.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the way to have it.
Always digging.
Good stuff. Caden, sponsorship on that 16 car must mean a ton.
Yeah, for both cars, it's huge. Just lately, Larry Zent and Big Rigs have stepped up and helped us huge. He's got a whole collection of parts, and anything we've needed, he's usually had, so he's been a big hand there. Austin with Ace Services, who's been with me for a few years now, he's been real good for us. And AP Race Engines, All-Star Performance, Lane Automotive, they all help us as much as they can. I truly appreciate all of them.
So now your next opportunity to get home and see Mom and Dad and see everybody probably isn't until Christmas.
Yeah, that's a long time away, but I think that's probably the next time I'll see him.
Hey, Skype and Zoom work, right?
Yeah, FaceTime and all that.
Yeah, incredible.
It's not the same, though.
No,
not the same. You got to get back up here. We got to see you in a race car up here at some point.
Well, we've been talking about how to get the car across to go to Jocasta, but it's tough, and to get people across to, have crew and make sure they can go to work on Monday is tough. So
yeah,
we're trying, but
that next year, that's what they make next year for. That 2021, I'm telling you, is going to be huge if we can get it off the ground.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, we all do, bud. We appreciate the time tonight. Congratulations on the accomplishments this weekend. I know you wanted to win. You're one of our Canadian champions. First is the only spot. Second is just the first loser. But I'm telling you what, against the guys you ran against, Bud, you did a fantastic job. And I know you got more in the tank, and you got some big shows coming up. Canada's with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You want to believe it. Caden Lapcevich. Follow him on Twitter. Look him up on Facebook. Does a dynamite job behind the wheel. And definitely one of those guys that Canada has produced. And he will do big things down south. Good deal. That's what we need.
He will, for sure. And you know, he's got the pedigree working on cars. He's no slouch when it comes time for setting them up and actually turning the wrenches and stuff like that. So, you know, that whole Lapsevich family, really, when you look at it.
Yeah, Trayton, Jeff, all of them.
Yeah, and there's even another one coming up through the ranks as well, right?
I wouldn't doubt it.
They got a whole fleet of development drivers over at the Lapsevich family. So it's definitely interesting to see, you know, where his career has led so far. You know, it's part of it, right? He mentioned it. Making that decision, you know, when he was racing in the Penny Series and winning the championship and, you know, knocking the numbers out, it just goes to prove how hard it is to get up that ladder.
Sure.
That ladder is not an easy climb.
No.
It's not just vertical. It's upside down and horizontal all at the same time as being vertical. You got to take it in all the different directions, and you also have to have luck on your side as well. And, you know, when you look at the opportunities that he's got right now, when you go down and you finish third at the Glass City 200, in two different styles, completely different disciplines of cars, and you know, you prove that you have that ability.
That's huge.
You know? It's you know, you're constantly proving that you have the ability. You're constantly proving, and you're constantly beating on doors to find the money to go do this deal.
Yes.
So
yeah.
You know, you gotta align yourself, and you gotta find the right relationships. And you know, you talk to some of these drivers, and the backstory is so interesting on how they get there.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I had probably an hour-long conversation not a week ago with Steve Arpin, just talking about where he's led, right, and where he's been and what all he's done. And it's just it's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's just it's all part of it. And then this weekend, you know, sat in a – you know, in a living room and talk to DJ about all the previous experience that he's got and all the different, you know, stories from the road, if you will, right?
Yep.
And you realize, like, how far you come out the other side of this deal.
Sure.
And it's all a blur. Nobody soaks it in while it's happening.
Nope.
You know, you're only as good as your last race. But once you get to the other side, you're like, holy.
Yeah,
look
when
at
you
that.
Stand here and look back on the accomplishments, and it's crazy, but I think of what Joe Walsh said when he's talking about the Eagles.
Yeah.
He in the history of the Eagles, the band, Joe Walsh talks about, you know, two different situations smashing into one another and creating chaos. That's the way life is.
Yeah.
And these things don't go together, but when you get to the end and you look back on it, it's like a finely crafted novel is what he says. And it's true. It's true.
It's really funny because, you know, you look at a guy in the Cup Series and you're like, that guy there, it was handed to him and he's got a silver spoon in his mouth. And he got there overnight and he didn't.
No.
It's like, like there's very few that do.
Right.
And those are the lucky ones, right? But then there's a whole pile of them that have a very similar backstory to you.
Yeah.
And you know, they clawed, they found money, they found resources, they found people to work for them.
They had to.
They found the how to make the car turn in the center at this one particular track. They found all those things that you need to be successful in the sport. And you know, it's interesting. It's so interesting to me to hear even, you know, guys at the top tier of Superstock have got an interesting story on how they got to the top tier of Superstock.
How they got there. Yes.
How they got to the top tier of Modified or Late Model or Super Late Model or Cup. I mean, it doesn't matter the series.
Right.
In order to be the top dog in any series, if you want a race, that's a big deal.
Yep.
Because everybody in that series wants to win that race.
That's right.
And if you win a championship at the local Saturday night, if you win a touring championship, if you win a cup championship, it's all the same deal, just different metrics of money and different metrics of people that it takes to make it happen.
You know, broadcasting live from Daytona a bunch of years ago, we broadcasted live from Daytona, go down there and focus in on the Canadian guys and try and follow their path and get the information back to Canada. We haven't done that in a couple of years. Maybe we'll do it again when this pandemic's gone. But I'm at Daytona. And of course, while you're covering the Canadian contention, of course, you've got everything that's in front of you. That particular year, Austin Dillon was going to go I want to say into the truck series.
It was going into the Cup series with the three.
No, it was before then. So it was either into the truck or into the Xfinity car. And his brother was also there. Mm-hmm. The word out there was, oh, these kids, their dad is working for RCR. And, you know, his grandfather's Richard Childress. These kids have been handed everything. And I had Joey Coulter that had just signed with RCR. And Joey and I, we go back. I covered him in his ARCA days and got to know Joey pretty good, him and Nick. And we're sitting there, and we're on the air, and I said to Joey, how about, you know, the Dillon boys? You know, I've heard it. I've heard it from a number of people saying, ah, those guys, Silver Spoon kind of stuff. And Joey Coulter really, really laid it out really good for me on the air. He said, Joe, let me explain it to you like this. If I gave you a helicopter, you'd have a helicopter, right? Now, fly it.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to fly that helicopter, is it going to do you any good for me to hand you that helicopter? The answer is no. You'd probably kill yourself in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's the same as these kids going into these cars. Did they have the right opportunity? Yes, it was there. But you got to make the most of it while you're there. Yeah. If you don't, well, then what good is it?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was a really good analogy. I really appreciated it. And I know my outlook changed that day.
Yep.
It did on a bunch of different things.
Yep.
I thought, what a great analogy. I can give you a helicopter, but if you can't fly it, well, good luck.
And the difference being, too, on top of that is you're not just given one helicopter. You have to be better than the other 40 helicopters that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's not just that you not killing yourself is not the win.
Right.
Not killing yourself is just not killing yourself.
Right.
And winning is a whole different ballgame.
Sure it is.
And being better than people who have flown helicopters for longer than you is the other portion, right?
If anything, those kids had more pressure on them
exactly.
than someone else that's coming through
yep.
because of their connection.
Exactly.
Because the microscope is on them
yep.
and the media was on them. Look at how well they performed. And watch Austin Dillon today. Watch Ty Dillon today. I got mad respect for those two drivers.
Yep.
They've been there. Now they're proven guys. Daytona 500 winner.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at it, a lot of people that are in the industry, right, point at NASCAR and they say, look, that Cup Series, all it is cubic dollars is just money.
Yeah.
Well, you're right, but all it is cubic dollars just on different metrics at every short track.
Yeah.
But part of your job is to go find the money to go do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It is out there. If you can create return and you can make a dollar on the dollar spent, then you're going to be able to do it. So just get creative.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to find the money and go do it
and
get after it.
And live your dreams.
Yep.
Very, very cool. You know what? We are just about out of time here. Got to thank you all for tuning in. Got to thank all of our guests tonight for jumping on this program. We genuinely appreciate it. AJM's Modified Driver, one at Sunset. He's going to join us next Sunday on this program. Got to thank Scotty back in Toronto. Got to thank Susie Q right here in the Racetime Radio studio for hooking us all up. But that does it for us. Want you to have a great week. Want you to join us again next Sunday night right here on Sirius XM, channel 167. It's Racetime Radio.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.